This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. We're glad to have you with us today. We're going to be teaching some good stuff from the Word of God that we invite you to stay with us. And at the end of the program, we'll tell you how you can get all these teachings. These are usually ongoing teachings. And so we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid, and we'll tell you how to do that at the end of the show. We're glad to have you with us, and now we're going to go into the teaching. And remember, Jesus is Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. We're talking about how to walk in divine health and the things that you must do if you want to walk free of sickness and disease. And there is a lot of requirements in God's Word that you and I must follow if we want to walk in divine health. I've experienced this now the last 20 or 25 years about how to walk in divine health. I've talked to several other men and women that have learned how to not be sick and to walk according to God's Word and by faith walk in divine health. And so I'm teaching you some of the things that God tells us not to do if we want to remain healthy. And what kind of problems that when we sin, some of the problems it brings into the church. And the church today does have a lot of sickness. And so we want to try to teach you how to get over that. So let's come to the Father. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we continue on today in our study of 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and as we talk about these things, about sexual immorality that's so prevalent in the church today, help us to realize, Lord, that we need to get rid of these things. We need to purify ourselves. We need to walk in holiness and obedience to your word. Reveal these things to us, Father, as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where we first talked about Matthew chapter 7 and Luke chapter 6, where the Lord told us to judge not lest you be judged. And then we saw where he was talking about the people not judging when they had a log in their own eye, when somebody else had a mere speck in their eye. And we're not supposed to judge in that case. If we're walking in sin, then we're not supposed to judge someone else that's walking in a smaller sin. But as we can see in the church today, we're supposed to be pure. Once we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, we're supposed to become a new creature in Christ. And whenever we get saved, all the old sins are forgiven and washed away. And now we are to stop sinning and to walk holy and purify ourselves and be free of all sin in the name of Jesus. Now then, I don't think most of the church knows that, you know, but I didn't for a long time. But now I do. And the only reason I know that's because I've spent so many hours studying God's word. I've learned it through reading the word. But here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul is judging a man that was living in sexual sin. And Paul said it's a terrible sexual sin, even a sexual sin that is not even among the unbelievers. But now then it appears that these kind of sins are everywhere. It makes no difference today. I guess the world's maybe more wicked today than it was even in Paul's time, because we see people, I mean, living together in the church as well as outside the church, and we see people on television. If you watch television, I've completely stopped watching it. But once in a while, I stay in a hotel or something, and while I'm trying to flip through the channels to find out where the Christian stations are, if they are any, I run across many stations that are not Christian. And, of course, you see the violence, you see the sex scenes, you see all the things, awful things that you see just flipping through. So I'd hate to think about having to watch those all day long. But now then, Paul is telling us what happens when we have people living in these sexual sins and how we should turn people within the church over to the devil for destruction of the flesh so that their soul may be saved in the day of judgment. Now see, God is merciful here by having us turn these people over to the devil at this point so their body can be killed so that their soul can be saved in the day of judgment. Because as I've said before, as they go beyond this point to a certain state, and I don't know where that is, only God knows it, that if they continue to live in that sin, when they die, they will not be able to go to heaven. Now then, Paul is saying here in 1 Corinthians chapter 5
in verse 6, he said, how terrible that you should boast about your spirituality and let something like this sort of thing go on. In other words, don't you realize that even if one person is allowed to go on sinning, soon all will be affected? Now, it's amazing how sin seems to affect people. I mean, if you do, it's kind of like running across a mud puddle. I mean, it's impossible to walk across a mud puddle without getting mud on you, especially if you got white shoes and everything. I think I bought a new pair of white tennis shoes the other day, and I thought, I can keep these clean. Yeah, you can keep them fairly clean walking on concrete, asphalt, and things like that. But if you step off into the grass or in the mud, forget it. I mean, you've already ruined them. So Paul says that even one person is allowed to go on sinning, soon all will be affected. And that's the way it works. So he says, remove this wicked person from among you so that you can stay pure. That's pretty difficult to do today, isn't it? To remove the impure from among the church. Well, Paul told us to do it. If you got these sexually immoral people living in your church, Paul says you are to confront them and you are to remove. If they will not change, you go to those people, you confront them with the sin they're living in, and if they will not stop sinning, you are to absolutely remove them from the church and turn them over to the devil for destruction of the flesh. It says, so that you can stay pure. Now, we are supposed to be pure and stay that way once we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. At that instant, all sins are washed away and we are pure. Now, it makes no difference what kind of sin we've had in the past. When we make Jesus Lord of our life, we will instantly be pure because the blood of Jesus washes away all of our sin. Now then, it says, our Passover lamb has been sacrificed for us. Now, this is Christ. So it says, so let us celebrate the festival not by eating the old bread of wickedness and evil, but by eating the new bread of purity and truth. Now, this is where you and I, the only way we can learn how to do this is to get in the Word of God and feed ourselves with the Spirit. Paul says, when I wrote to you before. Now, this is where I'm telling you that this is 1 Corinthians, but yet in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 9, he says, when I wrote to you before, I told you not to associate with people who indulge in sexual sin. Well, then that must mean this is 2 Corinthians instead of 1 Corinthians, because this is the second letter, obviously, that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. But for some reason, the first one did not get included in Scripture. But it says, when I wrote to you before, I told you not to associate with people who indulge in sexual sin. But I wasn't talking about unbelievers who indulge in sexual sin or in who are greedy or swindler or swindlers or idol worshipers. You would have to leave this world to avoid people like that. In other words, I'm not talking about unbelievers. I'm talking about the church. In other words, when I say don't get involved with people that are sexually immoral or people that live in sin, I'm actually talking to you about people in the church. The church is what's supposed to be pure, not the world. The world is nowhere close to pure. But Paul's telling them, when I wrote to you before, I told you not to associate with people that indulge in sexual immorality. Obviously, they misunderstood. But I wasn't talking about the unbeliever. They indulge in sexual immorality. Or these people are greedy, they are swindlers, and they're idol worshipers. Now, these are unbelievers. This is not supposed to be the church. You would have to leave this world to avoid people like that. In other words, the world is full of people like that. That's why Jesus had to come. We had to have the Savior. Without him, then there's no hope for anybody. But he says, what I meant was that you are not to associate with anyone who claims to be a Christian yet indulges in sexual sin, or is greedy, or worships idols, or is an abuser, or a drunkard, or a swindler. Now, these are people he's now talking about that's in the church that says that they're Christians, but yet they still do all these things. Now, this is just not a sexual immoral person. He says, I'm talking to you about the sexually immoral person, or the person that's greedy, or that still worships idols, or that is some kind of an abuser, or that's a drunkard, or a swindler. He says, don't even eat with such a person. First of all, when we run into somebody that falls into one of these categories that says they're a Christian, we should go to them and sit down with them and talk to them. You need to find somebody that's not living in any kind of sin. You need to find your deacons or your pastor or your church administrator or somebody or two or three of these people, and they need to go sit down with the people that's these kind of people that say they're Christians and have a talk with them and tell them what they need to do, that they need to straighten up their act. They need to become pure children of God. And then pray over them and pray with them. And, of course, you know, go through a deliverance. A lot of times people don't understand why they do what they do, but they do what they do because they've never been through deliverance. They've sinned and they pick up demons, and they don't understand. Demons is what makes people do these kind of things. I have seen people that you have a problem with. In fact, right here, before you throw a person out of your life, that people that are drunkards or abusers or swindlers or whatever, and like a drunkard, I've seen people that were hung on alcohol, and they were good church people, and they loved God, and they hated what they'd done. They didn't understand why. They know they're not supposed to go out and get drunk, but they just can't prevent themselves from doing it. Or like smoking, alcohol, any number of things, drugs. They don't want to do it, but they can't prevent themselves. They just seem like there's something that draws them. And there's some people like this sexual sin. They don't want to be involved in this sexual sin, but they can't help themselves. Every time they're around somebody that's sexually permissive, first thing you know, they wind up in bed with that person. They don't want to do it. They know it's wrong, but they do it anyway. All of these sins are demons. These are demons that are in your flesh, and these demons are controlling you. Now then, if you have never been through a deliverance, then you need to go through a deliverance. In other words, if you continue to sin in these kind of sins at all, or begin to kind of dab in these things a little bit after you got saved, I can assure you, you have picked up demons. These demons come to torment you. So what you need to do is you need to come before the Lord and take a scripture like Joel 2:32, where the Lord promises his people. He promises them.
We have to stop right there, but if you'd like these teachings in their entirety, if you would give us a call at 940-242-2106, 940-242-2106, or you can go to the web at www.tlsm.org. And there you can order all these things free and postpaid. And remember, Jesus is Lord.